This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. I'm Bernice Ross of RealEstateCoach.com, and we're very happy to welcome back our favorite economist, Steve Cook. He is the publisher of Real Estate Economy Watch, and Steve is going to be with us today for his fourth quarter update for 2016. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Bernice. It's great to be with you again.
Great, thanks. Anyway, well, let's get to it. What the heck is going on with sales?
A lot of people were shocked by the July home sales report, which showed that the big turnaround in increasing levels of home sales, and then it was followed up by the August report, which confirmed it. Think sales were down even more. And through August, sales are now about 1% above the level they were a year ago. And you compare that to last year when we had about a 5% increase year over year. So the pace of increase in sales has almost come down to zero. And we may see by the end of the year that it's almost flat with last year. The pending sales data that just came out from NAR has us at about, you know, a little less than 1% above where we were a year ago. And in fact, it was the lowest pending sales report that's come out this year. So, you know, a lot of things are going on in sales. Part of it may be the economy and concern about the election, but it's probably more based on economics than that. Number one, we do know that affordability has been a problem. In a lot of parts of the country, that younger buyers, just first-time buyers, just can't afford some of the price increases that we've seen. But underlying this, I think the real cause, the net cause, if you will, that's driving prices up and also making fewer properties available in a lot of markets is simply the problem with inventory. It's a chronic problem. It has not gone away as we had hoped. We're not getting enough new homes built, and the new home business is cranking out building homes as fast as it possibly can, and yet it's still not making up for the demand. So the fact of the matter is we would like to be selling more houses. We have, you know, the financing's available, but we just don't have the inventory to sell. But initially, like a year or so ago or 2 years ago, when the problem first started to pop up, it was mostly confined to first time buyers and more houses at an affordable level. And there's lots of different reasons that houses in that price tier were not available. Number one, those are the houses that many of which went into foreclosure during the housing crash and eventually became single family rentals. Number two, there are very few affordable, quote unquote, level homes that are built by new builders. So you've had, you know, there was kind of an inventory problem with that tier to begin with. And then, of course, the first-time buyers, which are so important to our market, they're looking for a good starter home, a good affordable home. So there's been tremendous pressure on the lower price tiers. That problem has moved up the scale now, and you're seeing more and more move-up buyers not being able to buy the house that they want. So that is actually making the inventory problem worse, because those move-up buyers are not selling the house they're living in, which would be perhaps a good starter home for somebody else. So, you know, the housing ladder, as it's called, driven by the first-time buyer and the move-up buyer, is not working as the way it should. We just have to figure out how to either reduce demand temporarily to get our inventories back in shape or find a way to get more houses into the sales stream. The price increases that have occurred in most markets should be sufficient to encourage those sellers who are price-sensitive to put their houses on the market. And that is something, too, that perhaps with time and the price increases that we've seen will be enough to encourage more buyers to list.
Well, but I'm not going to list if I can't find a property to move into. That's the problem.
Right. That's right. Yes.
So you said when we were prepping for this call that rents are leveling off and home prices are not. What's going on the rental side of the market? Because that's where all the first-time buyers are. In fact, I think I saw something a few weeks ago that said it was a Zillow survey, that they said that 54% of the 8,000 people that they surveyed were first-timers. Now, that's not necessarily the entire market,
right,
but that's a pretty good sampling. So what's going on with rent?
Well, just on that statistic, traditionally, you know, over the years, we've looked at about 40% to being the market share of first-time buyers. We have seen that we saw that number drop about two years ago to 32%, and it's still stuck there. So we have not seen an increased market share of first-time buyers in the last 2.5 to 3 years. What's going on with rents is almost predictable. The multifamily housing business, the apartment business, does not generate new apartment buildings quickly. You have to go through a process where the builders have to get financing together. You have to have a demand. You have to have occupancy rates go down to the point where, you know, the developer can get the financing and get the financing. You get the build. It takes a year and a half to 2 years to build a new apartment building, depending on whatever siting issues are involved. But all of that has happened now. The kind of demand for new housing that hit the rental business, say, in 2012 and 2013 has definitely had its impact. And now you're seeing record multifamily housing construction throughout the country, particularly in those markets that are preferred by the millennials and particularly in sites that are close in or sites that are accessible to transit, where the young families want to live. And in fact, as those properties come online, and this is right now, we're kind of at the peak of the properties coming online from this boom in multifamily construction. Right about now, this year and next year, we're going to see it at its peak. It's having a big impact, particularly in those markets that are the hottest markets for home sales. We're talking about the West Coast. We're talking about San Francisco, Seattle, Boston, and on the East Coast as well, Boston, Washington, D.C., areas like that, where you have a tremendous demand and that has not been met by rental. Now it is so great that it's now having an impact on the median rentals nationwide. The latest data that just came out shows that the median rent increase this year is right about 3% year over year. It was over 5 to 6% last year. So the appreciation rate on rent has cut in half in 1 year because of the volume of new buildings that are coming online. And that will probably continue to have an impact. Now you compare that to what's going on in home prices. And home prices are still appreciating about 5 to 6% a year. So just looking at the rates right now, if you're a renter, you're saying, well, gosh, you know, my rent's going up 3%, but the home I want to buy is going up 6%. So, you know, I can't get the money for the down payment. I can't afford that, whatever. It's making it tough for a lot of first-time home buyers to get out of those apartments.
Steve, you make an interesting point about the renters not being able to save the down payment. And part of the problem is there's still a myth about the down payment. What are your numbers showing?
There is a myth about the down payment, and it pops up occasionally. Most recently in a survey called the HOMA Home Survey that NAR does, I think every quarter, and they found well over 60% of the average American adults think that in order to buy a home today, you need a 20% down payment. I call it the 20% down payment myth. A lot of people in the industry shake their heads about it, and it's still true out there. A lot of, you know, people don't, the average American doesn't buy a home or sell a home every year. They don't keep up on these statistics. The turnover rate's about every 9 years. The fact of the matter is there's so many more options for lower down payments today than there were, say, 10 years ago, that a lot of people aren't up to it. And the average first-time home buyer today is only putting on down about 6%. For one thing, a lot of them use FHA. Secondly, there are a lot of first-time down payment assistance programs available through state and local finance agencies. And now you're seeing regular commercial banks like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and many others start to offer 3% or 3.5% down payment programs, all of which make it a lot easier for buyers, particularly first-time home buyers, to get into a home. Many move-up buyers, however, put much more down because they have equity from the sale of their existing home that they'll tend to put into their new home to lower the amount of money that they have to borrow. So you may see an average down payment level nationwide in the 16 to 18% range. But that, you have to understand, there are two very different kinds of buyers that go into that statistic.
See, when the regular mortgage lenders, people like Bank of America and Wells Fargo, got into making low down payments, that triggered the last downturn. Is there any chance that could happen again?
I think statistically, yes. When you make it easier to get in a home in any way, whether it's down payments or lending standards or whatever, to some degree, you probably will see an increased risk of delinquency and default. But the other side of that coin is that you're not seeing the same risk that existed at the time of the housing boom for several reasons. First of all, we don't have anything close to the kind of craziness that was going on in those days with the no-doc loans. And my favorite was the pulse loan. In other words, where you had a pulse, you could get a loan, that kind of environment that existed. The kind of regulations and restrictions that have gone into effect since those days do a great deal to protect both the lenders and the consumers from that kind of thing happening. Another thing that's happened in the whole area of low down payments is, number one, virtually any loan that has a loan payment, a down payment lower than 20% is going to require homeownership education, and it's going to require mortgage insurance. So mortgage insurance is a major way to help protect the lender should the borrower default. Homeownership education has also proved to be very effective, and a very effective way to help both the lender and the consumer get those mortgage payments in on time and to prevent delinquencies.
Dave, one of the issues that people talk about is credit availability. Could you elaborate? Is it really the credit availability that's the issue, or is there something else going on?
Yes, well, credit availability can affect mortgage availability in terms of and then that in turn affects interest rates. That's not really our problem today. Interest rates continue to be historically low. You know, there's a lot of different reasons for that, but we've been talking about rates rising for years, and they really haven't. They're still just remarkably low. The problem that's with mortgages that's kept a lot of buyers, particularly first-time buyers, out of the marketplace has been the tightening of lending standards that occurred after the housing crash. And it occurred for that tightening occurred for some very good reasons. We had serious problems with the kind of documentation and the kind of lack of follow-up that underwriters did at that time. And there, as a result, we saw over 8 million families lose their homes, you know, in the period between 2009 and 2013. And many of those homes became single-family rentals. But, you know, the impact both socially and emotionally as well as economically was just huge on the whole society. Since then, the mortgage industry and the government have changed the world dramatically, and we've seen a tightening of lending standards. In fact, many people said that tightening of lending standards were too tight, and the pendulum swung too far. Well, today, one of the things that a lot of people haven't noticed is that the approval rate for mortgage applications in this country, for purchase low mortgage applications for mortgages to buy a home, has actually increased 50% in the last 4 years. In other words, if you apply for a mortgage today, you're 50% more likely to get that mortgage than you were in 2012. Now, I think there's two reasons for that. I think that we've seen, you know, a slow relaxation of the lending standards, particularly in FHA loans and particularly for FICO scores. But on the other hand, I think we've also seen a tremendous education of first-time buyers. I think that the first-time buyer today has done a better job of getting their debt under control, a better job of getting their credit under control, so that by the time they do apply for that mortgage, they're just in a lot better shape to get approved than the borrower of, say, even 5 or 6 years ago. Everybody agrees that as the economy approves at whatever rate it approves, but if it does continue to approve, it is simply in the cards that rates will rise. And it's more a question of when rather than if. And I think that, you know, some of the latest signals, people who read the tea leaves from the Federal Reserve are saying that maybe this next time around, you know, it's pretty sure that we'll see some gradual increase. But we've seen the Federal Reserve, you know, about last December came out and said that as they do raise rates, it will be very incremental and it will be done in a way that is designed not to disrupt the economy. So, you know, we may see the days of 3.5% or rates below, you know, 3.5% on a fixed rate loan. Those days may be over, but, you know, we may see, you know, rates around between 4 and 4.5 in the future. But I don't think that's going to be a huge tragedy to the housing business. We've lived with rates much, much higher than that in the past, and we've done well. So, you know, it may have some impact, but we have a lot of other issues that are affecting home sales that are probably more significant than interest rates at this point. Those interests are, number one, inventory, and number two, home prices, and number three, income levels for home buyers. I think just lately we're starting to see income levels for particularly younger workers improve significantly. We've talked about it a lot, but the fact is that the millennial generation has been making less money than their older brothers and sisters did at that point in their working career. So these younger people have not had the same kind of income levels that previous generations have had to buy houses, and that's been a major issue. Well, higher mortgage rates will make it more difficult for some people to buy, but I think if you look at all the factors that are barriers right now to particularly first-time buyers to getting into the market, I think probably interest rates may be overemphasized. I think that, as a matter of fact, these lower interest rates have been a spur to younger people to try to buy right now, and it may have increased the level of demand from that group. And then when they find no houses that they can afford, then it becomes more difficult for them. But I think that, again, we're talking about degree. If we say, you know, I think all of the experts do not expect rates to shoot up. I think that we're talking about incremental increases over time. Certainly probably no more than, you know, 4 to 4.2% over the next 12 months, you know, depending unless the economy should really get hotter and inflation should really take off. Those are levels, again, that we have lived with in the past in the real estate industry. Those and in years past, those kinds of levels would be considered very, very favorable. And looking at where we've been, they're not so favorable because we've had such a tremendous run of low interest rates. But in any case, there are other factors out there. Number one, the fact that we don't have enough inventory to meet the need, particularly for the mid-tier and lower-tier buyer. And number two, that we haven't had incomes increasing at the rate that prices have been increasing, so that it makes it more difficult. The increases in prices have a lot more to do with the inability of the average buyer to buy a home than increases in interest rates.
Okay, Steve, well, let's kind of wrap this up. What's your forecast for fourth quarter and end-of-year sales and prices?
Fannie Mae is one of the organizations that continually puts out a revised forecast every year. Recently, Fannie lowered its forecast for sales in 2016 from down to 3.3%, which is about, then you compare that, we had 6.5% increase in sales last year in 2015. So we're seeing almost a 50% decline in the rate of increases in sales from one year to the next, which is pretty significant. Now, many of the forecasters came out at the end of last year and said we would see fewer sales in 2016 than 2015. NAR, for example, right now the sales rate that we're seeing through August is just about what, you know, NAR forecast for this year back in January. You know, it's still a little bit lower than, or maybe about 1% within what we saw last year. So sales have certainly slowed down. They slowed down earlier this year than expected. You can look at it, look at the glass being half full and say, well, gee, sales were really hot. In April, May, and June, we had some terrific months for sales at that time. So this year has been more volatile in terms of sales levels. So, you know, we're going to probably end up 2016 about where a lot of the experts said we were, but that's still a lower level of sales. Why? Prices have risen a lot, and it's made it more difficult for a lot of people to buy. And yet those rising prices have not increased inventory enough to keep those price levels down. So normally we would see price levels, right now we're seeing price levels in the range of 5 to 6% on a year-to-year basis increase. That's huge in real estate to see that kind of a year-to-year price increase. And yet that's still enough, not enough, I should say, to get sellers to list enough homes, but provide the kind of inventory that demand requires. So there's a disconnect going on in the process. You know, there are lots of reasons that people sell their homes. They're not just prices. For example, about 10% of the nation's homeowners still don't have enough equity to sell their home. That's one issue. And it's worse in certain markets like Chicago, where one out of every three homeowners does not have enough equity to sell. So we're seeing a decline in sales or leveling off in sales. We're seeing prices continue to rise. Those two factors are going to make it harder as we go forward for first-time entry-level buyers and increasingly for move-up buyers to be able to generate the kind of demand that will keep sales strong. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of forecasts we have going into 2017. But right now, we look 2016 ending up by right about where a lot of people expected, but it's not going to be a banner year for sales. And a lot of the coastal markets, places like San Jose, San Francisco, Boston, Washington, are not seeing the kind of price increases that they have been seeing. And there's a leveling off there. And there's leveling off for some reasons. One, as I mentioned earlier, we've had more rentals coming online in those markets. So rental prices are going down and that's hurting demand. But, in the central part of the country, you're starting to see significant increases in both sales and prices in a lot of the interior markets. So that's probably a good thing for the nation as a whole. Another theory that's been put out is you're seeing more job creation in some of those Midwestern and Northeastern markets than you've seen in the past. So it may be that, you know, more families are moving to where the jobs are, and that may be increasing the demand for housing as well.
Thank you, Steve. This has been terrific. We've been visiting with Steve Cook. He's the publisher of Real Estate Economy Watch, our favorite economist in terms of what's going on. So it looks like 2016 is going to end up about as predicted. Still problems with the inventory. Credit is a little bit easier to get, and people are still stuck in their homes, so we still need more move-up properties. Thanks for being with us today, Steve.
Thank you, Bernice. Always a pleasure.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for MN Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit MN.com. Make it a great day.